Welcome to B2B, Boots to Books, the show where we explore the journeys of veterans and military-connected students as they navigate their paths from service to the classroom and beyond. I'm Dustin Abrego.
And I'm Rebecca Allen, your hosts. Each week, we'll dive into powerful stories of resilience, determination, and success.
Whether you're a veteran yourself, a military family member, or simply inspired by the strength of those who serve, you're in the right place.
Let's turn the page and start this incredible journey together. All right, welcome back to B2B. I am your solo host this week, Rebecca Allen. Dustin is doing what he does best and making sure that our newest students are set up for success at orientation. So this week, I am joined by my good friend, Justin Coates.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about a couple of topics that I love, mental health and Dungeons and Dragons, which weirdly overlap.
So like peanut butter and chocolate.
Yes.
It goes great together.
So welcome in, Justin.
Thank you for having me.
I'm very glad to have you here. How about we start out with having you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Justin Coates. I work for the Veterans Health Administration out of Ann Arbor, but I oversee a lot of different counties throughout Michigan and Ohio. My job is to be a community engagement and partnership coordinator, which basically means I look for opportunities to assist anyone in the community, whether that is, you know, like local mental health agencies. It can be universities like this one, obviously. Anywhere anyone is helping identify veterans in the community, serve veterans in the community, help them overcome social isolation, I get to kind of stick my nose in and see how I can help out. My own background, I served in the U.S. Army from 2008 to 2013. I had two combat deployments as an airborne infantryman in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. I think that was 2009. And then again, midway through 2011, got out of the military, really benefited from some excellent mental health services from the VA when I got out and I moved back to Michigan, really inspired me to become a social worker myself. I went to University of Michigan. I apologize. I'm so sorry. I went to University of Michigan, Dearborn, and then I went to the University of Southern California for their military social work track, graduated in 2018. And started getting really involved with veteran services. Even when I was working for community mental health, I always went out of my way to find, you know, that population and see what I could do to help. I've been working with the VA since around 2021. I've been in this role where my job is specifically community engagement since midway through last year, so a little bit over a year. Prior to that, I was working for the Ann Arbor Psychosocial Rehabilitation Program. That was where I had the opportunity to really kind of lay the groundwork for what would become the Veterans Adventure League. I was originally providing therapeutically applied tabletop role-playing games. So it was basically Dungeons and Dragons group therapy, which was a lot of fun. And once I left that position, a lot of the veterans that I had worked with wanted to continue playing the game. I obviously was looking for opportunities to connect veterans, service members, and their families through RPGs. And so it kind of blossomed from there. Hopefully that's not, is that enough or is that too much?
I think that's probably good. So you mentioned the Veterans Adventure League.
Yes.
What is the Veterans Adventure League?
The Veterans Adventure League is an organization that is dedicated to bringing service members, veterans, and their families together through the love of tabletop gaming. Mm-hmm. That's the bullet point. That's it in a nutshell. That's the elevator pitch of it. It's veterans, service members, and their families coming together to play D&D, but also to get support in figuring out where to play. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got someone that wants to play, they don't have a table to play with, hooking them up with someone who does have a table. We've got a little table development team where if you want a DM, but you're scared, you don't know how, we'll help you learn how. Mm-hmm. And we also have what's called the Sentinel team, which Rebecca, obviously you're familiar with as you are a member of our Sentinel team, where we really encourage our members to participate in suicide prevention trainings that we also offer. Mm-hmm. And we're also partnering with some local peer support groups for veterans. Really the goal is to kind of provide a space for veterans to get together and play, have a lot of fun, and also have access to resources, access to mental health support, all the things that we really as a community need to be providing to mm-hmm. each other and ourselves.
All right. So how did this all get started?
Yeah. So it's funny. Really, I mentioned how it kind of began when I was providing the actual clinical therapy. Mm-hmm. So Veterans Adventure League is not therapy, right? It really is just, and I say just, you know, quotation marks, all it is people having a great time together, right? but originally, when I was working for the psychosocial rehab program in Ann Arbor, The idea was utilizing D&D to help veterans that were experiencing PTSD, anxiety, depression, right? Mm-hmm. Bipolar disorder, all the stuff that you can really kind of practice the skills for in a role-playing setting. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's ever been a therapist knows sometimes getting people to show up for your group therapy can be a pain. No one ever missed a D&D session, right? No one ever misses a D&D group therapy session. Everyone wants to play, right? When I took this new job, which was focused not on, like, I don't do clinical work anymore, mm-hmm. right? It's all like macro level social work.
Yeah.
A couple of the veterans who had really benefited from the program and graduated from the program reached out to me and said, hey, what do we need to do to kind of bring this out to the rest of the service member veteran family population? I'm going to say SMVF from now on, yeah. because I hate having to, we love our acronyms here, you know, SMVF population. What do we need to get it out there? And, you know, right off the bat, it's like, okay, well, it can't be clinical, right? Because you have to be a therapist to be able to provide it, and you have yeah. to have notes and everything like that. But it could be a community thing where you're coming together to play. But then very rapidly from there, we thought, well, what makes that different from just, you know, going down to your hobby store and playing? Mm-hmm. Just do that, right? Well, maybe what can make it different is that this organization isn't just D&D, but with SMVF. Maybe we can also kind of provide a framework for developing dungeon masters, mm-hmm. For providing mental health counseling, for providing peer support groups, right? And it's really kind of grown from there. The organization is only around a year old. And at this point, you know, we have tables set up all throughout the state of Michigan. We've got one going in Portland, Oregon. I just found
really?
Out. Yeah. Every now and then someone will reach out and say, hey, yes, we are a Val table. We have been following along and doing our own thing. We would like to come to a meeting. And it's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. yeah. By all means, our lost children come home, you yeah. know. But yeah, that's really kind of where it came from. And that's kind of where we are right now.
Okay. So you mentioned that this is part of just providing that support. So why do you feel, as a mental health professional, that camaraderie is so important for that mental health aspect?
Yeah. So obviously, and I say this as someone who, you know, I love to provide clinical therapy. I'm never going to disparage that. As much as I really think that we as veterans can certainly benefit from 12 rounds of CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, right? You know, it's good to go see a therapist. It's good to talk to someone. Very often, what we don't have is a sense of community, mm-hmm. right? A sense of community where there are people that have shared our experiences. You know, they even if they're not veterans themselves, right? Or they're veterans from a different generation, right? The table that I run on Fridays, you know, my father, who's a Persian Gulf veteran, he plays. I'm a Global War on Terror veteran. We've got another Global War on Terror veteran. We've got a guy from the Cold War era kind mm-hmm. of thing. And then we have one of the veterans, his adult son plays with us, right? So very different generations. Mm-hmm. You know, the one guy, he's not a veteran. He's the child of a veteran, right? But at the same time, we all kind of have that shared experience. Mm-hmm. There's that sense in which, you know, we can all kind of relate to each other. We always encourage veterans to drag their spouses along with them too. one of our newest veterans, his wife also plays, and we're like, you got to get her in here. Come on. We really need a cleric. We need a cleric so bad. I heard she wants to play a cleric. Please. we really need someone to come in. So there's that sense of community, right? Where you're able to be with people who kind of speak your language, mm-hmm. right? But also it's not so similar that you're almost like, you know, internalizing, where you're yeah. like, you know, reinforcing, like you're only around people that have been exactly the same as you. There's enough diversity within our population to prevent that. Mm-hmm. And I would also say, and this is something one of our members, a gentleman named Dusty, who has been a tireless advocate for D&D ever since I've known him, he talks a lot about the need for our population, our SMVF, to have a continued mission, mm-hmm. right? We are at our best, not only when we are kind of looking after ourselves, but when we're actively looking after each other. So the sense in which, hey, I am a member of the Veterans Adventure League, I play Val, but also next month I have a training coming up where I get to learn how to spot the signs of suicide, mm-hmm. and I get to intervene. And I'm kind of taking responsibility for my brothers and sisters in our community. And I'm going to learn, you know, the same way a good citizen might learn, you know, CPR, right? You know, you don't throw your batteries in the trash. You take them to the library. You know, you dispose of them in the right place. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to eat them. I learned that. I was surprised. I was very disappointed.
Sounds like a Marine thing to do.
That's crayons.
I mean, you got to upgrade at some point.
That's true. But yeah, this sense in which, you know, when you're a part of Val, you can say, yeah, you know, I'm not just playing a game. I'm actively being a part of my community. I am going to be a sentinel in my community. I'm going to look after my brothers and sisters. I think giving veterans the camaraderie and the continued mission is an important part of keeping us kind of cohesive and in good mental health.
Mm-hmm. Now, not to dig into a more personal side that I prefer. You've mentioned the Sentinel team a couple of times. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah. So again, you know, our goal with Veterans Adventure League is to provide support to the tables, mm-hmm. which is our table development team, but also provide opportunities for the mental health side of things. So the Sentinel team, originally the goal was just to provide suicide prevention trainings. Mm-hmm. The model we use is VA Save. That's the one I'm trained in. I was providing those every couple of months to new members. We give out like a nice certificate, that kind of thing, just mm-hmm. so that, you know, anyone that's ever been in the military knows your little certificate of achievement, your little I Love Me book.
You put it in my Love Me book, yeah.
You put it in I Love Me book, right? You know, oh, I got a certificate. This is great. But from there, we also talked about the importance of peer support groups. Mm-hmm. And that is something, obviously, Rebecca, you know, you're highly qualified in. And you've been running that group there for a little bit, trying to gain a little bit more, I guess, not attention for it, but let people know that it exists as a resource mm-hmm. for any listeners that are interested, for example. we've also recently partnered with, there is a, in the Downriver, Michigan area, so we're talking like south of Detroit. Mm-hmm. We've spoken with a gentleman who wants to start a Val chapter out of like his local American Legion or VFW.
I think VFW.
VFW, that's right, yep. Yeah. You're talking about Joe Cotton, yep. Right, Joe? Hi, Joe, if you're listening. He also has a peer support veteran group. I believe it's called Anchor Vet.
Yep.
Like Anchor or Anchor Point?
I think it's Anchor. It's Anchor something.
Anchor something, yeah. Yeah. It's a cool name. I wish I remembered it. I'm sorry.
Joe, we will learn your name.
Joe, I swear to God. I'm so sorry. We'll learn it. But yeah, so there's this idea where we very much want to partner with anyone that has any kind of a background in providing peer support, mm-hmm. anyone that's interested in just even having just support groups, right, where there's a space for veterans to come and talk outside of the table. That can be an essential way, not only for us to support each other, but also to network, to share resources. It drives me crazy how many times people haven't heard about things like 988, for example.
Yeah.
If you're a listener, 988, that is the new National Crisis Hotline. Press 1 to be connected to the Veteran Crisis Line. People still don't know about that, despite mm-hmm. all the advertising that we're doing. And so I think about, okay, these peer support groups, you know, that might not get brought up at a table necessarily, but you know, you play, you jump into the Discord, or you go to the peer support group, and you're talking, and you hear, and you learn more about resources that are available.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that this will air long after, but we are holding a peer support group tomorrow, actually. We're focusing on surviving the holidays.
Yes.
So we are looking to provide that kind of support. Yes.
And that is virtual as well.
It is virtual.
There's no barrier. I believe the Anchor Vets, so they're downriver. I think they meet in person and virtual as well. But the group that you're running right now, the peer support group, that is entirely virtual.
Yep.
So yeah, that's very easy to get to.
So shifting back to the tables, Dustin and I were talking about Val and what to expect. Dustin has a very loose background in nerd culture.
Yes.
So what is the expectation when joining a table? Do you have, like, what's the experience level? Can you be a new person or do you have to have played before? What can new people expect if they want to join a table?
Ideally, and this is going to sound funny, I remember when I was in basic training and our drill sergeant said that they very often preferred people who had never fired a rifle before in their life to someone that went hunting mm-hmm. because you kind of sometimes had to have them relearn stuff.
Yeah.
Right. In some ways, it can be a real advantage to be a total noob, mm-hmm. to have never in your life even looked at Baldur's Gate 3, let alone sat down and figured out what level your warlock is. Right. Yep. If you're the kind of person where you're like, that sounds kind of silly, it is perfect for you, right? So I would say, you know, there's obviously no skill level required at all. You know, we've got folks who have never played a game before in their life. We have folks like one of the guys at our table, you know, he's been playing since the very first edition came out. You know, he's been playing nonstop since then. And mm-hmm. he could tell you facts about second edition, advanced D&D, why he likes 3.5 more than 5, you know, like, or, you know, 5.5 versus whatever. And the really great thing is that obviously, like, because we're a growing organization, anytime a new person is available, everyone is very excited to see them and wants to be like, hey, what do you need help with? You know, is there any, do you have any questions? Do you need help setting up your character? The dungeon masters that we have, the folks that are running the tables, are all prepared to accept anyone of any skill level, right? And I'll give an example. So my dad started playing with us. My father, Persian Gulf veteran, right? He has wanted to play D&D. He played D&D one time when he was a kid and never, ever played it again. He's always wanted to play it, right? My dad has some memory issues, right? He was worried about that. He was like, I don't know if I can remember all of my spells, and I want to play this cleric, but it's hard for me to remember my feats and my, you know, all of this stuff. No problem, right? It is very easy to make this accessible to anybody and to make it so that everyone can have a good time. Everyone can have a fun time. Everyone can feel that they're kind of living out that power fantasy, you know what I mean? Where they're being this cool character that they designed and came up with, and they're role playing it without necessarily having to worry about the minutia of, you know, whatever is on their sheet. And I'll say that's the way it should be for any good table at D&D, right? You know, there are some tables where, you know, maybe they might say, hey, at our table, we do expect a certain level of blah, blah, blah. You're not going to find that at Val. You know, our goal really is to just make it as accommodating as possible for everybody. That's the goal. So if you are a total noob, that basically means you have to come play. That's what I just said. You don't have a choice. You have to come play.
There you go. I do want to shout out our DM, Daniel Shinover in Grand Ledge.
Yes, good old Dan.
So Daniel is the one that hosts our biweekly table, and he has been absolutely incredible. So my son, who is 11, wanted to play, and Daniel has been so accommodating, helping him understand the rules, trying to keep things entertaining for an 11-year-old who does not have an attention span, and it's already, you know, it's 6:30, 7 o'clock at night after a school day.
Sure, right, yeah. He spent up all his attention credits all throughout the day.
Yes, yeah. But Daniel's been phenomenal about making sure that anyone who sits at the table feels welcome and knows what they're doing. You know, he's had to adjust on the fly a few times to make sure that we didn't have a TPK, that is total party kill for those who do not know, on a bunch of level one characters, including an 11-year-old who has designed his very first Dragonborn.
And
was
what
very excited.
What class is he running?
Warlock.
Oh, a Dragonborn Warlock. Nice.
Yeah, he's very excited about it.
Do you know
what
kind of subclass is he going with? Do you know?
I have not had that discussion with him yet.
Parents, it's never too early to talk to your kids about what Warlock subclass they're going to choose.
Yeah.
Talk to them about the great old ones before someone else does.
It's probably going to be old ones. He's probably going to be a little scaly boy.
Yeah.
You know, having a pack with big scaly boys. So.
That's right. That's right.
And Daniel's been phenomenal with it. And on top of that, you know, Daniel's so embedded in the veteran community around here that we will take breaks. And it's immediately we're jumping into, hey, what do you know about this and this in the area? So
I'll shout out to Mr. Ian Knapp as well, who I had a chance to talk with the other day, who has gone so far as to create a fantastic website for Val, specifically the chapter here at MSU, which is fantastic. I had a chance to talk with him the other day, and it's clear it's the same thing, right? There's that real passion for veterans and that real passion for, you know, you're running the game, you're working with your team, and you take your pizza and Doritos break or whatever, your pizza and your Dorito break or whatever it is, and you say, hey, how's everybody doing? We good? Oh, you're having an issue with your service and pension or whatever, your comp and pen? Are you talking to your VSO? Here's a card. Here's a phone number, right? That's something that we really encourage folks to do. Whether or not you're the DM, right, that's something that we can all do. There's always that opportunity for us to kind of practice that servant leadership style that we kind of admired in the military.
Yeah.
Absolutely so.
That's one thing that I do want to highlight as well is, so like our table, for example, Daniel worked for the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. He's been really involved with the Lansing Area Veterans Coalition. He's just very involved in veteran services. And then we also have a veteran navigator, Brandon, who has, you know, veteran himself, and he's very involved in local veteran services as well. And then myself being in vet services for the last 10 years,
right,
trying to get my husband to join the table, who works for Volunteers of America under vet services. You see that at every table, right?
Yeah, every single one of them. Yeah. Yep.
So no matter what table you join, there's always going to be someone there that is going to be able to step aside and say, hey, like, as a veteran, what's going on? What can we help you with?
Sure. Yeah. And one great thing too, I think, you know, to kind of expound on that, one of the benefits of, and I think, you know, because I sometimes early on, especially, I'd ask myself, okay, you know, so we're playing D&D, but really what makes this different from just, we're just playing D&D,
yeah,
right? What makes it different? And really it is that ability to network and resource where, mm-hmm, if I'm at a table, you know, over in Grayling or whatever, if I'm at a table, you know, the table in Portland, right?
Yeah.
And I got some question. Somebody asked me a question, I don't know. Well, I know that I can talk to Rebecca and Dan, and mm-hmm, they might know, right? I can reach out to them, and, you know, we have our monthly meetings the last Tuesday of every month, you know, 7 p.m. If you go on our website, which I'm sure we'll put that up somehow, yeah, somewhere. If you go on our website, you can see, you know, it's on our Google Calendar. Anyone can join. We're really encouraging folks to show up because it's a way to find out what's happening around you so you can hear what we're trying to do next and so you can weigh in. You know, we want to hear, if it's your very first meeting and you've got something to say, we want to hear from you. Please share your thoughts.
Yeah.
But the ability to network and to problem solve and to have a way to say, hey, yeah, we've got a veteran over here that needs some help. We've helped, like, for example, getting veterans transportation to games. Mm-hmm. That's something that we've worked on. The Ann Arbor Public Library has been a huge benefactor in that regard. We've had folks kind of like lobby them, like, hey, let us use your space, please. You know, mm-hmm, I know it's a little, you know, it's a little bit different from what you're used to, but they've been very open to that. So kind of having folks that can help you and advocate for you and help you network, that kind of thing, that is something that I think helps this organization kind of stand out.
Yeah. So where do you see the Veterans Adventure League headed in the future? What is the ultimate goal?
That's a big question, because we're still so new. There's obviously a lot of different ideas about where we could end up. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a sense in which, you know, okay, let's say we become a nonprofit, right? It'd be really cool to be able to get access to grants so we could do stuff like buy people subscriptions to D&D Beyond. Mm-hmm. It'd be really cool to be able to have like a rotating lending library. It'd be really cool if we could have enough money to attend like a Comic-Con or something like that. Mm-hmm. Although I will say I have had some success I kind of sneak into the local Comic-Cons alongside our vet centers, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll go there and I'll kind of pass out the flyers, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. Although I also know it's called, this is out in San Francisco, they just had it, it's called, I think they call it Con, like Genghis Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a board game convention where they specifically wanted veterans to get in for $1. And so they had that and they somehow heard about us and we ended up getting in touch with like a counterpart out in California. We got them our flyers. And so they, you know, according to him, they had a great time. They were really super veteran, interested in what veterans were doing in the space, that kind, mm-hmm, of thing. Passed out a bunch of flyers. So really, you know, if we could, you know, become a nonprofit, you know, that's one avenue we might take. I would personally like to see our peer support services really expand.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the idea of folks not just hearing about the peer support services because they're coming to play D&D, but also the inverse, hear about, oh, you guys play D&D because they're coming to the peer support,
yeah,
services, right?
Yep.
That would also be really cool. Really, I think the ultimate goal is to continue providing veterans with a sense of an ongoing mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then also continuing to just bring people together and have them have stuff to do. I think it was Ian that proposed the idea of what he called like side quests,
mm-hmm,
which everyone knows side quests can sometimes be, they have nothing to do with the main campaign, but they're a lot of fun, right?
Yep.
So, you know, maybe a side quest is, oh, we all get together and go to the Michigan Renaissance Festival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on Veterans Day, it's free. Or not Veterans Day, they have a day for veterans,
yeah,
where it's free.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Or maybe we all get together and they have a bonfire and s'mores or whatever. I don't know. So, yeah, anything that kind of continues to build that bond, I really think that's the general direction we're going to go in.
Awesome. All right. Well, I know that we'll put up the website and everything,
yes,
like that,
yep,
but if anyone wants to find more information, where can they look?
So they can go to the website, veteransadventureleague.org. It is still kind of under construction. Like, we're working on coming up with a more interactive map.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, it'll say, you know, the list of a couple of tables that we have, and it'll say email the admin, which is usually me.
Yeah.
They filter through to me. And we will respond to the emails, and we will let you know where the local table is. But we want it to be so that you can just look on a map and see, I'm here in the Lansing area. I can call Dan, I can call Ian, I can call them, and that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. we're working on that. But you absolutely, if you send us an email through through the website, we will respond to it. We also have a Facebook page, which we just got started. My wife has a background in social media. I am finagling her into volunteering her services. See, that's the great thing about this too, is that, you know, you also have a spouse that you're trying to like wrap up into this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's all very family oriented.
Hey, service members, veterans, families, you know, it's right there in the acronym. So yeah, you can absolutely find information there. We do have a Discord that we're trying to get a little bit more movement in. We were just talking about spending more time there. I am a boomer when it comes to Discord. I know that it's like the like millennial app of choice when it comes to this sort of thing, but like I get scared when I see it. So I'm going to have to overcome my fear. My 10-year-old makes fun of me because he already knows how to use it. You know what I mean? He's fine with it.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll hold your hand through it.
Baby steps, right? Yeah. Baby steps. But yeah, so the website, the Facebook page, if you reach out to us through the website, someone will get in touch with you. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on and talking about Val today.
Thank you for having me. For all your listeners, thank you so much for your service. Whether you are a veteran, a service member, a family member yourself, thank you. And come roll some dice with us. We would love to have you. Come roll some dice.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Justin.
Thank you. Have a great one.
You've been listening to B2B, Boots to Books.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the inspiring stories of veterans and military-connected students.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your community.
We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us on social media or take a listen to previous episodes at lccconnect.com or your favorite streaming platform.
Remember, every story is a step forward.
And together, we can build a bridge from boots to books.
Until next time, stay strong.
And keep moving forward.